gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Much of the debate in Washington has put forward a false choice when it comes to Libya. On the one hand, some question why America should intervene at all, even in limited ways, in this distant land.
And about the oil, why aren't we in the Ivory Coast? Oh, I'm sorry. I was just channeling.
He didn't answer those questions last night.
Of course he didn't. Thank you. I thought he hit it out of the park once again. Thank you. Stephanie, I was just channeling you and Jim before, you know, you could get started. I was speaking for you.
He didn't bring it up.
No. No, because I think the listeners and I shot down why that was a ridiculous analogy.
I don't think so.
I think we did.
No.
StephanieMiller.com, the webs. Oh, I got a
you just avoided
boatload
the,
of email.
You just avoided the situation.
I got a boatload of email. 8 minutes after, no, 7 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Naysaying Mooks, executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Charlie Pierce. Coming up on the big Tuesday show, Representative Karen Bass in less than a half an hour to give us her reaction to the president's speech. And Joanne Kloppenburg, very exciting, very important, the Supreme Court race in Wisconsin, upon which this whole collective bargaining thing could hinge. You were saying it's going to be like a Supreme Court interview, though, because she's a judge. She can't really say.
Yeah, so it's going to be like the Elena Kagan hearings, you know.
The whole interview will be in code.
Yeah.
She'll just be dancing around, and I'll be trying to. She, however, is very impressive and way overqualified to be on this show.
Yes.
As many people are.
Yeah. Even Charlie Pierce is overqualified to be on this show.
Who isn't, for God's sakes? It's a low bar. All right. Julie and Tim, one of the many, many emails I got in support.
Mm.
Julie writes, Mama, toss a towel over that dang, it's the oil parrot. She's referring to Jim.
Yes.
That was Jim. He just kept muttering under his breath over and over, it's the
I really,
oil.
Yeah, I really didn't say anything about the oil.
It's the oil. Julie writes, oil. Sheesh. It's not the oil. Not much oil, anyway. Analysis below from a peacenik think tank and MSNBC. We get less than 3% of the oil from Libya. No one country gets that much from them. So I'm just saying. Well, Jim, I understand. He tends to be negative about everything, as you know. Do you understand the analogy people were making about the Ivory Coast?
Sure.
Okay.
But
and the president addressed that to the extent that, of course, we can't be everywhere.
Right.
I thought he was very clear last night about the reasons why specifically he made the decision he did with Libya, and I think it was a good one. I'm reflexively, as a liberal, not for war.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he made a very clear case why Libya yesterday,
sure.
And all of those things are not there. First of all, he made a very clear case about why no ground troops. Ivory Coast, it would have to be ground troops. They don't have an air force. I think there's a million different reasons why there wasn't an international coalition that was asking us to go into Ivory Coast. So
I just think, you know, the lives of the people that are being slaughtered in Ivory Coast are just as important of the lives.
Of course they are.
That was my point yesterday.
I don't think we have a weapon that can hit a machete from, you know. I'm just saying there are differences.
I'm just saying I feel for the people of the Ivory Coast, I wish more attention were paid to them.
Bill wrote, why is Jim bringing up something Wes Clark said 4 years ago to try to diss what the president's doing now? That's another good point. He was talking about something General Clark said about something Bush was doing 4 years ago, which does not apply to this. It's that's all I'm saying. And I've heard this point made over and over. There's not a lot of oil there. That's not, I'm not saying that there's not a full picture on Libya, but it's just, I don't understand why we do the right wing's work for them sometimes. It's like, that's what Newt Gingrich is for, who, by the way, grows more and more ridiculous every day. Trying to explain why. He literally is on tape. I'm listening to the tape yesterday. Oh, we got to have a no-fly zone right away. Right away. And then the president does. He's like, what? That's ridiculous. Why are we doing that? What idiot would have suggested such a...
I kind of resent you saying that I'm doing the right wing's work for them.
I think we have a little tiny corner of the media universe, and I don't want to spend my time bashing the president. That's what Fox News and 17,000 right wing stations are for.
How is that bashing the president?
I'm not saying we can't have this...
How is it bashing the president?
Well, because you said it 2 seconds into the show yesterday, why aren't we in the Ivory Coast?
I said it.
And I think the president made a really good. I think the president made a really good case as to why we're in Libya. You can only take one issue at a time, Chris. You're president. That's all I'm saying.
How is that bashing the president?
Because it's always negative. You guys don't understand how much mail I get Well, you guys are relentlessly negative about the president. It doesn't matter what he does. It's like the right
Stephanie,
way.
Stephanie, I asked one question yesterday. That is not relentlessly negative.
You asked it all day long, and Jim said oil all day
Because I was being attacked for asking that question all day long.
Well, now we've started fighting already. Someone back Mama up. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
I'm standing my ground here. I gotta. Because a lot of people agree with me.
Okay. Well, I don't understand why. I'm just saying that's what the right wing does. They are relentlessly negative about the president no matter what he does, no matter what. I mean, and I have to say, what's happening in Libya, it's really going exactly as planned. And I think he was spectacular last night.
I thought
Rachel
it was
Maddow
a great
thought
speech.
So. Ed Schultz thought so. I mean, I don't think I'm alone either in supporting the president on this.
At the risk of not bashing the president, I thought it was a really good speech.
Okay. Thank you. Let's hear some more, shall we?
To brush aside America's responsibility as a leader, and more profoundly, our responsibilities to our fellow human beings under such circumstances, would have been a betrayal of who we are.
But, and that was the point he made, is that militarily, we had a unlike the Ivory Coast, we had a way to do it. There was a military path that was part of what he was saying. We knew there was about to be this massacre in Benghazi. There was a way to do this with the Air Force, without ground troops, without having going in by ourselves. Mm-hmm. So that was also part of the calculus. All right, the president.
Some nations may be able to turn a blind eye to atrocities in other countries. The United States of America is different. And as president, I refuse to wait for the images of slaughter and mass graves before taking action.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't, I can't normally bear Fox News, but I particularly can't bear after two wars, one of which was illegal and unnecessary and not on the books. Iraq and Afghanistan, obviously I speak of Iraq, but Iraq and Afghanistan, now they're starting to, you hear little peeps about the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not really, I don't know, but boy, the money now.
That's extremely disingenuous of Fox News.
Ugh, drives me crazy. Here's my
wheel
cue.
Of right-wing hypocrites.
Oh, I mean, I have to admit, that comes into all our minds. We're in the middle of this budget crisis, and they're mm-hmm. taking it out of the backs of the sick and the poor and the working folk, and you kind of go, ugh. But that is so disingenuous of them because, A, they will, first of all, they've been voting at every turn to not have us get out of Iraq and Afghanistan as the president wants mm-hmm. on the timetable that he would like. And yet here they are bitching about the money for Libya. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. You know what? I think I've gotten crotchetier. Have you noticed that? Not only did I spend the entire vacation with my this is the problem because I can get naysayed by my Republican relatives in North Carolina. I don't need to come back here and get naysayed.
I'm not naysaying, just asking a question.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. You know what it is? Now I do have new sympathy for you. Having been at my mom's, I had to watch Fox News 24/7. Mm-hmm. It's relentless. I really do. I have post-traumatic stress disorder.
Someone in the chat room just said, Steph is crabby.
You have no idea what it's like being with my right-wing mother and brother. They're just, it's Obama derangement syndrome.
Mm-hmm,
it doesn't
is.
Matter what he does or says.
Right.
Oh. And then I have a new, can I have just give me some old crotchety music. Because now, this is the moment when you realize that you have gotten old and crotchety. I'm on the plane on the way back. Okay, this is a pet peeve of mine. These damn kids today. Why are people so loud on planes? There were these two youngsters behind me. I don't know what they were, in their 20s. And they're yelling to each other the whole flight. They're yelling to each other in the airport lounge. They're yelling back and forth the whole flight. Guys behind me is yelling, go heels! I don't know if he's watching. How can you watch a Tar Heels thing? There's not even any... damn kids today.
Not,
it's
not
rude.
Even any watch.
It's not one of the flights with TV on it, so I don't know how he was watching.
Did the flight have
screaming?
Wi-Fi?
No, I don't know.
Well, if the flight
maybe it did. I don't know.
So they were watching it on their iPod or whatever.
That wasn't what the conversation was about. It's about all this personal stuff that you don't want to hear about, and they're screaming.
I don't think it's kids these days. I think it was those particular kids.
Oh, and then the guy next to me. I hate the personal conversations really loud on the cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
The entire plane. The guy next to me, we're going, I guess it's Jennifer's husband. He kept calling people, hi, it's Jennifer's husband. Listen, that $5,000, what we're going to, it's like personal financial stuff. I'm like, can you wait till you get off the plane? Okay. All right. That's my, I'm done. loud personal conversations on this. I want to go back to a time when we didn't have cell phones.
That's what
Gotta wait till you got home.
That's what texting is for.
Exactly, Jennifer's husband. I'm talking to you.
That's right.
Oh, wait, I'm not done. Now I have one other thing.
Okay.
I'm driving in the car, and I heard a song I actually liked. I don't remember what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a line that says, don't be fancy, just get dancy. And I'm like, yeah, they'll write songs like they used to. What kind of songwriting is that? Don't be fancy, let's get dancy. What? All right, I'm done.
You know, some of the 70s
happened to me.
The 70s had some really awful lyrics, too, you know. That was your era.
That's true.
Okay, so don't say kids these days. Just say music in general.
All right. I can go on vacation with my family again. I love them.
What happened to you?
I love them because I had a week of solid Obama-nacing, and then the minute I got back, the oil parrot over there, who's not here yet. Oil. It's about the oil. Why aren't we in the Ivory Coast? I'm just saying. Okay. 17 minutes after the hour.
I didn't say, why aren't we in the Ivory Coast?
All right.
I said, what makes Libya different from the Ivory Coast when the exact same thing is happening?
Okay, 17 minutes after the hour. We'll be back with more of your thoughts and ours on the president's speech last night on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
God, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Carnation instant bitch?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, Rick in the chat room, I do need to get laid. What's your point? I told you that's the other reason I know I'm old, and I'm starting to relate to the old lady in the AARP commercial. It's doing the cake icing. I'd like to fall in love again. I'm that lady now. And you mentioned I should probably leave my house then. That is too much work.
You get invited to stuff.
I can't go because I go to bed at...
At stupid o'clock.
And I get up at...
Insane o'clock.
Hello, this is my life.
Yeah, you were invited to be on a panel with some, you know, very prominent gays.
It started at 8 o'clock at night or something. Okay.
You know, like it or not, you're a prominent gay now.
Shush.
What?
Camellia writes, I love these little internet interweb cards they send.
Yes.
It's an ode to spring just for you, Steph. May your devastating winter blues finally give way to your debilitating spring allergies.
Yeah.
Why, thank you. Oh, and here's this one. I'm glad it's warm enough to ride a bike since I can no longer afford any other form of transportation. That's a sign of our times. All right. Kids, you know what? We got something exciting coming up.
Yep.
People across the country will gather April 4th for a day of action in support of workers. Learn more about events in your community at aprildayofaction.com. I'm young enough to know that you don't need to say the www, even though it's written there.
Yeah, you don't need to.
aprildayofaction.com. That's another pet peeve of mine.
Or you could say
that.
http://www.aprildayofaction.
Don't bring up colons at my age.
Oh, boy.
All right. Cordell.
Are you having problems down there now?
No, I'm having problems everywhere. Cordell in Kentucky, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Cordell.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning,
Chris.
Baby.
Hi there.
Now, I got to defend Stephanie. Chris, I love you to death. You'll always be on my future husband. But I don't get sick and tired of seeing you and Jim in every single issue. You always seem to bring up something negative about the president.
Thank you.
Every
single issue? I'm telling you, that's people's perception, yes.
Yeah, because let me tell you something. It's people like, and I mean this in the nicest possible way.
Yeah, right.
It's people like you and Jim that are going to lead us to getting President Romney or President Palin or President Kane, whoever that douchebag
or
was.
Or President Gingrich.
That's not going to happen. There are way too many skeletons in that closet.
Yeah, you're enjoying his little church tour, Cordell, because he's a man of faith now.
Let's put it to you like this. You know, he is such a hypocrite. He's going to sit there and judge another man when he's cheating on his own wife. I mean...
My sister was going crazy. My sister lives in Lynchburg, Virginia. He's going to speak at Liberty University.
Right.
And she's like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? She's like, what? This is an example of what you want to... You know, whatever. Yeah. I get it, Cordell. Thank you. Yeah, I'm just saying that's Hal Sparks and I. You remember we had this conversation off air last time. Is we were saying I don't know if I would reflexively defend the president so much if I feel like everyone else was always you know bashing him on the left and the right.
Asking questions is not bashing.
Samantha in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Mama, welcome. By the way, you really should make some time for getting up on the piano with the skates. It's a great thing. You'll have a lot of fun. It's worth a little loss of sleep.
All right.
But
well, I mean, as long as I can nap while I'm on a panel. Right?
You know, there's always, you know, a bad tune somewhere here or there.
Yeah.
But I want to say I do support you that, you know, there's enough. The Fox does enough against the president. We don't need to do it, too. Although, Mooks, I have to say, I agree with your points. Maybe this isn't the medium for it.
You agree with our points, but we shouldn't
we don't need to point it out. The president, too. I mean, come on. There's so much of it out there. There's not enough positivity.
Right,
I mean,
but we want him to do better.
Point out what is good.
Yeah, well, she's just saying that, you know, you've got Fox News, you've got 17,000 right-wing stations, right, Samantha? That's all we're saying.
Really, there's more of them than there is of us. I mean, their message is loud and clear. We got the hate.
No, and I obviously allow disagreement on the
yes,
show.
You do.
I work with you, too.
I know that. But
exactly.
But, you know, those of us who are progressive, we're more likely to ask questions and to be a little more cynical than, you know, people who goose-step on the right. That's just how we are.
The listeners that you have right now mostly are, I get it. I do the research. I go out there. I fill out 1,000 petitions. I go on the blogs. I go on all of this stuff.
Right.
I'm out there spreading the message to everybody I can, but I'm not going to bash the president.
Samantha, here's what I think.
Mean, if
here's
I
what I think.
Bash the right,
yeah.
I will.
Yeah, here's what I think. It just, you know, almost on every issue, look at what we've gotten. Look at the alternative.
Yeah.
Look at the Scott Walkers and the Rick Snyders and the Rick Scotts and the Kasichs. And, I mean, we have really, you know, who is it I just saw, Samantha? Is it Pawlenty? Said he would repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Oh,
I mean,
don't even get me going on
I know.
Him.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'm just saying, look at the alternative. I mean,
sure.
It's and it's such a critical time, by the way. Oh, speaking of me being a big gay, hang on. Let me. No, I'm just saying, it's a critical point. It's a tipping point out here in California. That was the bad news while we were on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
The court declined to let gay marriages go forward while they were trying to do. But this is, look at this. Slim majority backs gay marriage, new Washington Post ABC News poll. That's the first time in history.
Yep.
A slim majority of Americans now support gay marriage. 5 years ago, it was 36%. It's now 53%. That's huge.
Absolutely.
In that amount of time. Say gay marriage should be legal, marking the first time in Washington Post ABC polling that a majority has said so. So there's just a lot of issues that are really like front and center now that we are just going to go way backwards on if we get Republicans in, particularly in 2012. All right. So lots to get to. 29, we're just getting warmed up.
Oh, yeah.
29 minutes after the hour. Back with Representative Karen Bass. She's my congressperson, you know.
She is.
I got a pothole I got to talk to her about.
Oh, boy. She loves it when you bring that up.
And the president's speech as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hormones are a-flowing. Anyone can get laid here, even
Stephanie Miller.
All right, come on, I'll get carried away. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Representative Karen Bass of the great state of California, my personal congresswoman. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm fine. My producer has some questions. There's a street where you turn on right before mine that has really some bad potholes.
But that's a local issue, not a federal issue,
mind.
Stephanie.
All right. Representative, got to get your take right out of the gate on the president's speech. I thought it was great. It was very clear. What was your reaction?
I thought it was the same. I thought he gave a very passionate explanation and appeal, really, to the American public. And I was very impressed. I was honored to be there. And you know, he'll listen to a speech in person.
Well, you wrote a great piece on this, on, you know, going into this, why this is different. You wrote, you know, you write Muammar Gaddafi would be different, obviously, than the other revolutions going on. To the people, to a people's resolution or revolution, he responded with bullets and bombs. A massacre would have been played out for the world to see. And so you talk about it, which obviously the president talked about, that this was a worldwide response.
Absolutely. And I would just remind people to think about Bosnia and to think about ethnic cleansing and the atrocities that happened there and how it actually took our nation a very long time and the other nations in the world in order to intervene. And it's one of those things that, you know, we'll never exactly know what Gaddafi would have done. But any time you say that you're going to hunt down your own people door to door and you're going to mow them down, I mean, he told that to the world.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, exactly. I, in my opinion, he had this coming. You know, I mean, you're right. You base it on his history. You know, and as you write, to a humanitarian disaster, a worldwide response followed. The Arab League called for a no-fly zone to protect the Libyan people. Using unprecedented clear language, the United Nations Security Council invoked a resolution to use all means necessary. This would not be an American engagement, you write. This is an international one, and I think the president was very clear about that last night.
Well, and also the other thing that I'm happy about, of course, is that it is temporary and that we have already handed over the command to NATO. And I think that that's important. The other thing that he said very clearly is that the Arab League pleaded, the opposition in Libya pleaded for intervention. And I think that's something that is unusual. I don't recall that happening before in other situations.
Right, the Libyan people themselves, exactly. I thought he was very good about that. I mean, honestly, Representative Bass, it's like this is the polar opposite of Iraq. I mean, I think he made that point.
Absolutely. And then, you know, I do feel for him, though, because he is so damned if he does and damned if he doesn't.
Yep.
You know, first he was criticized because we didn't intervene. And once we intervened, I heard John McCain say, well, now what his criticism is that he said it wasn't going to be unending and that he said we weren't going to stay there until we removed Gaddafi. And the point the president made last night is that if we had gone in with that mindset, then we would have been in a quagmire that would have lasted for years, very similar to Iraq.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that it's so disingenuous. You're absolutely right. I mean, whether it's the Newt Gingriches or whoever on the right, I mean, it just he's a perfect example that president can't do anything right. I mean, he called for a no-fly zone. The president does it as soon as it comes together, this international coalition, and then he criticizes that. I mean, does he not think there's recording devices?
Exactly, exactly. Well, personally, I hope Newt Kid continues along this vein.
Yeah. Yes, please give us more tape. Well, yeah, but I mean, I think that that's the, you know, the point you make is really a good one, that, you know, the president, well, as a congressperson, talk about that, because obviously there has been some talk on both sides of the aisle about he didn't consult Congress, but I also think he made the point that this was a timely crisis, that by the time he could have, you know, this was an emergency.
Well, you know, as a new member of Congress, I don't have the experience of having been here through other U.S. interventions, and so I look forward to talking to my more experienced colleagues. But from the research that I've done over the last few days in reading documents about the War Powers Resolution and what has happened in other interventions, President Obama really didn't do anything any different than any other president, and he, in fact, did consult Congress. He consulted the leadership of Congress, both houses, both sides of the aisle, and he also consulted with the chairperson and ranking member of all of the key committees, Armed Services, Foreign Policy, Appropriations. And so I'm not sure beyond that what people would have wanted to see, and I'm anxious to talk to my colleagues to get that understanding.
Well, Congresswoman, for instance, are you as confused by John McCain as he appears to be by himself? because I just saw him on the Sunday shows with Lieberman saying he supports this. And then here he is yesterday.
This policy has been characterized by confusion, indecision, and delay. Americans are confused as to exactly what our policy is because, on the one hand, they say it's humanitarian. On the other hand, they say that Gaddafi must go. The president, I hope, would clarify that in his speech on Monday night.
I mean, go ahead.
It kind of reminds me of the conversation they were having around health care reform where the president looked at Mr. McCain and said, you know what, the campaign is over and I won. He can't seem to just
agree. He always has to qualify it. And I think that we're seeing that with our colleagues on the other side of the aisle, although I will distinguish Lindsey Graham, who did an open letter to the Republicans saying, you know, this is not the way you've behaved in other interventions. And so I think that that's interesting, and I hope that people follow his leadership, frankly.
Yeah. He's going to get teabagged right out of the party. But
That's true.
I mean, this is the problem. You're right. I mean, if someone just stands up and is American these days and says, I support my president, I mean, you're right. They have no place in today's Republican Party. It's really sad.
It's sad and it's frightening.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing with John McCain. I don't even get it. First of all, as the president said, there hasn't been delay and confusion. As he said, it took us, as you said, what, a year to go into Kosovo. This came together in, 31 days? That's delay and confusion? And it's been working exactly as planned. As you say, it's already been turned over to NATO. I mean, he's done exactly what he said he was going to do.
And also, when he talked about the 31 days, he laid out what was taking place during that time. It seemed rather methodical to me, as opposed to indecisive. You know, bringing the international community along, the UN Security Council, the Arab League, et cetera, that the ground was laid before the U.S. participated.
Right. And Representative, you know, I don't think any of us are naive enough to not realize this is a military operation. You don't talk about every step of it in the, you know, it's like, he needs to be clear with the American people. Well, guess what? Gaddafi has a television. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that part of it, frankly, I find rather insulting, the standard that they're trying to set for President Obama.
Yeah, exactly. It's always a double standard. Representative Karen Bass, I'm serious. The part of the road is really, really rocky when you turn into my little street.
Oh, stop and, it.
We'll talk about that again another time.
I'll get your city council person on it.
Representative Karen Bass of the great state of California. Thanks so much, Representative.
Thanks for having me.
There she goes. She's chuckly.
Yeah.
And I think she's going to do something about that street, because you're right where you have to drive over it every day, and it, right?
Yeah, it's bad.
Totally, right?
It's bad. It might be a private road, though. And so, all right. Actually, you might be in charge
of
that.
Do you have to Google map me? You don't need to come out where I live. Let's go to Nancy.
Well, we know that you live in Karen Bass's district.
Don't!
Oh!
Nancy in Buffalo. Hello, Nance.
Hello, Stephanie and Chris.
Hi.
I had a question for the two of you, but first, I did want to preface my question by saying that in reference to the previous caller who called before the representative was on, I wanted to say that asking questions about reason for military action is not bashing the president.
I agree. I don't think it's asking questions is fine, but I'm just saying, to me, Ivory Coast and Libya are two separate issues, and I'm just saying I'm tired of everybody bringing in a negative no matter what decision he makes. I think Libya was a tough decision, but I think he made the right one.
Right. Well, you know, there's different opinions, I guess,
agree
on that. But I did have a question for the two of you, if you can answer, I hope. I wanted to know, is the oil in Libya owned nationally by the government,
yes,
or is it owned privately by the oil companies? I don't know.
It's owned nationally by Libya.
And we get about 3% of it or a little less.
Uh-huh. Okay. I'm just wondering if that might have something to do with the reason why we are engaging in the war over there.
All right. Thank you. We have the oil parrot for that. He'll be here shortly. Wait, hang on. I have the whole, Julie sent me the whole thing. I'll tell you who gets it. Can put a girl from Ipanema on while I try to find my paper here?
Boy, you're organized.
Well, listen, I didn't know this was going to come back up again. All right. Hang on a second. All right. Let's see. Okay, now I can have fun facts. Thank you. Yes, this is, we get 3% of the oil from Libya. No one country gets much from them, blah, blah, blah. Oh, 28% of the oil goes to Italy, 10% to Germany, 11% to China, and France, and 3% to the United States. All right. Thank you. Okay. Whew, I shouldn't have put my pasta on top of that. Let's go to, Rena in Pennsylvania. Hi, Rena.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, go ahead.
First time, long time.
Okay, thank you.
I really think Italy is a big part of why we're there. I mean, if you see the immigrants streaming across the Mediterranean, it's just a jump.
It's a very short boat ride.
And so Italy getting, like you just said, 28% of oil and all that unrest. So it's not just Italy, but all of Southern Europe is dealing with incredible immigration problems. So I think that's why you know.
Well, for them,
Obama,
it would be like if there was a whole lot of unrest in Mexico, you know, for us. So
yeah,
I can see why they're really, really concerned.
And Canada's, you know, government fell, so let's take them out, and, you know, we get all our oil from them. The other thing is about the humanitarian, I'm not so convinced. I mean, otherwise we would be, you know, bombing Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Syria, Lebanon, Yemen, you know, they all turn their weapons on their own people. I just think the whole,
I just did a story yesterday about one of the Saudi princes is building a 60,000 square foot house here in L.A. I think we should bomb that just because it's, you know, it's obnoxious.
Saudi Arabia does do some awful things.
Boy, howdy. And, well, George Bush, he told them a thing or two. He had his tongue in that guy's ear, so that guy knows not to do anything like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When he wasn't holding his hand, he had his tongue in his ear.
Mm-hmm.
45 minutes.
Can I ask you one question?
Well, we have to break, as you can see, because you produce a national radio show.
I know.
You'll ask me a question after the break.
Okay, 46... you'll hear what that question is when we come back.
All right. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
To lend some perspective on how rapidly this military and diplomatic response came together, when people were being brutalized in Bosnia in the 1990s, it took the international community more than a year to intervene with air power to protect civilians. It took us 31 days.
There's too much delay and confusion. I'm John McCain. Yeah. Get off my lawn.
John McCain's a bastard.
51 minutes after the... He was just for it on Sunday.
I know. It's a flip-flopping tool.
Oh, right. Ike in Charleston, South Carolina. Hi, Ike. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah. Hey, let me see if I can... this is pretzel logic. I understand a lot of people are confused, but particularly for you, Chris, look, the argument...
He's sounding like George Bush Sr. lecturing Geraldine Ferraro.
Yeah, thanks for the condescension.
Go ahead.
Unfortunately, Junior never read Dad's book, otherwise we wouldn't be in Iraq.
Yeah,
but see that
thank
as may.
You.
Look, I don't think anybody on the planet was willing to look back and see something along the lines of Rwanda, the killing fields in Cambodia, Idi Amin, this kind of thing. And this is where we stepped into a new policy issue. And that is that if we're going to do these sorts of things, we're going to do it as a combined force across the globe, and we're going to have some sort of consensus. Now, we know who the players are here. We just don't know who the players are that aren't in the mix and what China and Russia are going to do. But let me point
well,
out...
Well, Ike, and may I just say, I thought the president, you know, made a very clear and concise point about Iraq, that we cannot afford to do that anymore. You know, that the United States is not going to be involved in that, you know, on his watch.
And the collateral damage in the region just on the refugee crisis that would emerge would be terrible. But what I was going to say is if you look at the way things played out, the last successful war that we had in this country was done with air power for the most part, and it was done in Kosovo and Bosnia, and that was to stop genocide. Now, one other thing, Chris, I urge you, go and look at what happened in East Timor involving the Australians and the UN, and you'll see a perfect blueprint for the wars of the future. And, you know, you can say we're giving up sovereignty if you want, but personally, I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend another trillion in 10 years in war.
Yep.
Stephanie.
Yes.
Why when I Google your picture, are there pictures of bodybuilders in that mix?
Because there's some bodybuilder chick named Stephanie Miller. It's not me. I can crack them.
I was gonna say if you're that buff, man, you're a scary woman.
I'm not that buff. Although I can crack a walnut with my ass thanks to P90X.
God, stop! I can't handle it. See ya.
See ya.
He had to go take care of something.
Hmm.
It sounded like
Lavender Pit whilst Googling my picture.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Lavender Pit in Tucson, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello.
Morning, Mama. Morning, Mook.
Good morning.
And a great big shout out to all of my new friends on the live chat stream.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Isn't that awesome over at ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller?
Oh, my gosh. I got a new middle name immediately.
Is it Louise?
Yeah, my goodness, how did you know?
All right. All right, go ahead, Olivia.
I said something frisky, and I was granted a new middle name.
Yes, you are Lavender Louise Pitt.
It's true. I was listening to the speech last night, and the only thing that kept echoing through my head was, thank God we have a grown-up in charge this time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so refreshing to hear someone say, we cannot afford to go nation building this time, but we have an obligation to do the right thing.
Yeah.
It was almost like
I thought the same thing when I was watching Secretary Clinton, actually, on Sunday. I was like, oh, thank God they're in charge. Yeah.
Okay, you mentioned Hillary Clinton, and I would just like to say, completely off topic, she looks fabulous these days.
Yeah,
now she does. A couple of weeks ago, she was looking a little tired.
Every now and again, she looks like Nick Nolte's mugshot because she had a long flight, and there's no hair and makeup.
But I don't know. I think she's thriving in this position because every time I see her on the TV lately, she just looks fabulous.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the problem is there's no hair and makeup in the middle of an international crisis. But when you go on Meet the Press, there's hair and makeup.
You know, and she really makes up for that international crisis lack of hair and makeup when she goes on Meet the Press.
Can I just say,
well done her.
Lavender, you remember how contentious the primary got. I have a magical new dream. Would you like to know? I was thinking it when I was watching Meet the Press.
I'm still for
that swap, because she said, if you think about it, she said, I'm not going to be Secretary of State for another term. I'm not running for president. But she didn't say I wouldn't be vice president if I were asked, did she?
It's almost leg tingle worthy.
Thank you. It is leg tingle worthy. There'd been some talk of that. You know,
yes.
that she would, and Biden would swap out, because he's always wanted to be Secretary of State. And I think that would be spectacular. And then we could have 8 years of President Clinton, and we'd all be happy. Okay. I'm healing my primary wounds.
Yes.
I spend a lot of time with Rob and Michelle Reiner now. We've all kissed and made up.
Speaking of chicks' looks on TV, my friend was watching MSNBC last night.
Did you just refer to Hillary Clinton as a chick?
Sure.
How dare you?
And my friend was watching MSNBC last night, and he said, is Michelle Maddow wearing false eyelashes?
Rachel Maddow.
Rachel Maddow. Yes.
I don't know. Her daddy listens every day. Bob, does she wear... I know. I was thinking her eyelashes are beautiful.
They looked long and luscious last night.
Bob, I know you're listening. Call in and tell us, are those real? Or are they... Because I thought that, too.
Uh-huh.
She looks like Clarice from, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Beautiful. All right. She had really long eyelashes. You know, she would blink when she was looking at Rudolph. All right.
That wasn't my favorite.
Well, Rachel's beautiful. I don't know if they're real or not. Bob will call us in a minute and tell us. Rebecca, let me know when Bob calls. Mark in San Francisco, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mark.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
Hi, everybody. Really glad that we have Obama in office. You're right about all the adults, but I do have a bone of contention. And
okay.
I think the caller
before the caller
was... that the Libyan National Oil Service is now likely to become a corporate oil service, corporate-owned oil system, and I'm concerned about the underlying implications of that. And then number two...
How do we know that?
Well, it's not going to be national after this, is it?
Well, it depends on what happens. But anyway, go ahead. What's your next point?
Okay, well, so let's look for two points. In the future, if the oil industry of Libya becomes a corporate interest, that's one issue. And then number two, if in the end the 2,000 Marines that are currently offshore of Libya end up having to go to Libya, will you then admit that the president has really gone off track and become a corporate tool or not?
Oh, okay, but now we're in some sort of hypothetical land in which I don't know how to answer that.
He says that's the president every step of the way.
But you're asking me to defend really something that he hypothetically hasn't done yet. I don't, am I evading a question in hypothetical land? I don't know. The president has said that this is why we did what we're doing, because we weren't going to send ground troops in. So if he does send ground, I don't know, then we'll talk then call back. We just went back. We got in the DeLorean and went back to the future to call me an Obama apologist. Apparently, I'm defending something he hasn't even done yet. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Why don't you leave it alone? You're lucky even presidents for you, you bastards.
Oh, look, the oil parrot's here. Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour.
Last caller had a very good point. If they do corporatize the
yes,
oil fields,
by all
that
means,
validates my point.
Let's everybody into the DeLorean. Let's go into the future to criticize the president for things that he might do wrong. Uh-huh. Then what are you going to say, huh?
That is something to watch out for, though.
Okay. Let's dwell on the negative. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Charlie Pierce will be up to join you guys, I'm sure, in your Obama bashing shortly.
Everything is going extremely well. By all standards,
mm-hmm. Yes.
The Obama 9000 series is completely free of error.
The president yesterday, last night. All right, we'll get the parrot's take in a minute. Here we go.
NATO has taken command of the enforcement of the arms embargo and the no-fly zone. Last night, NATO decided to take on the additional responsibility of protecting Libyan civilians. This transfer from the United States to NATO will take place on Wednesday.
Jim, your thoughts on the president's speech?
I saw the excerpts on the Ed Show. I did not see the whole thing. But from what I saw, it was very, very professional and very, reassuring. And I think it seems like he's got everything under control and we needn't worry about anything.
Thanks, Jim. All right, I'm going to start drinking now, just in case.
You really didn't get the sarcasm in that, did you? No, it was
no,
a very good
I decided and, to ignore it and go to Drunk Stack. See, now, some people would call this
and
a
the
problem.
Fact that we're putting more money into nuclear power, I think, is very encouraging because nuclear power is safe and clean and nothing could ever go wrong.
And by the way, our radiation detectors are working just fine out
right.
here in California.
Sure they are. No, there were glitches. Glitches and anomalies.
Anomalies, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So what will the warning say? By the way, you should have left like 10 days ago. Is
yeah.
that what?
Yeah.
Sorry. We just finished the math on that.
You're starting okay. to glow like the deadly hands on a radium clock.
Okay. Yeah, I think I was wise to go to Drunk Stack now. You know, some people might call this a problem. I call it a problem solver.
Mm.
Drunk mom arrested with teen behind the wheel. Authorities say a woman has been arrested after allegedly getting drunk and having her teenage son drive her to the store for more beer.
Ha! Problem yes. solved.
Problem solved!
If only you had a teenage son. Or you teach
exactly.
Max to drive.
What else is the point of having kids? A deputy spotted a car driving with its headlights off. Oh, stupid kid. Behind the wheel was a 14-year-old boy. The woman said told the sheriff she drank four beers and her son was taking her to buy more. Hello.
Sure.
Sounds bad.
That's good.
Driving drunk?
Right
she's
that's
like, I'm yes. drunk, so he's driving. To get me more drunk.
I'm so drunk to drive, so I don't know.
Reason number 7,643 why I don't have children. Because I'd be like, that's, there you go.
So she was hammered after
four beers? That was my question.
Is she like 2'8"?
Is that when she decided that she was too drunk?
No
so
wonder
she
had him drive. She can't see over the steering wheel.
She's a chick. I would be drunk on four beers.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Well, as much as
a
you
lot
drink?
Of beer. All right.
Your tolerance has got to be sky high.
Drunk Stack meets a future husband Stack.
Your liver needs conditioning.
New York man arrives to Sullivan Court for DWI hearing drunk carrying a bag full of beer.
A bag full of beer.
That's my man.
Like
a Santa
sack?
A bag full of liquid beer or
yes.
receptacles. A bag full of cans and or bottles.
So I can imagine the wedding. I'd be there with my box of wine. He'd be there with his bag of beer. Classy
like
all the way.
A Santa sack full of beer?
I don't know.
Like over his shoulder?
A Swan Lake man. I think not the ballet.
He knows if you've
I
been drinking. He knows if you're...
What? It's an area outside Monticello. Swan Lake. Not that Swan Lake. A Swan Lake man. Was he wearing tights? Facing a felony driving while intoxicated charge. Showed up to court Monday with a bag full of beer. Was promptly thrown in jail without... bail. He came to court about an hour and a half late carrying a black bag that contained four cans of Busch beer. Busch beer?
Busch?
He was also carrying an open can of Busch beer and was drunk.
Good
authorities
man.
Say. He tried to throw away the can. Good thinking. Nicely done. Oh, all right. So.
Wow.
All right. Let's go to, let's see here. Richard in Pennsylvania. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Richard.
Sounded like you just hung up.
Hello. Oh, well.
Stephanie?
Oh, hi, Richard. How are you?
Okay,
you
went to get a beer. How are you? Just a quick thought. I don't think we've taken a casualty on this Libya thing. That's what happens when you plan things.
Well, yeah, and how about the story about the plane that malfunctioned and went down, and they were greeted to a hero's welcome by the rebels? And because that happened in Iraq all the time, remember? Let's go to Max in L.A. Hey, Max, welcome.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, all this talk about how Obama doesn't know what he's doing and ineptitude. Let's talk ineptitude. Let's talk George W., who 5 years ago took Gaddafi off the list of bad nations.
Yeah, yeah.
No one's talking about that. No one's pointing out.
I mentioned it yesterday. An emailer mentioned that. Yeah.
No, but I mean, but the people I'm talking about are these people like John McCain and these Republicans who look for every opportunity to bash the president. They ignore the fact that he followed what he said he would do. I was not happy.
Yeah, and he was behind Lockerbie.
On the big war.
Right.
But, you know, all these people that attacked the president never come back with any explanation as to why we're still in Iraq. They were talking about they want an exit plan and they want to know what the cost is going to be. They weren't concerned at all about that with Iraq.
No, exactly, Max. And Iraq, I'm sorry, it was a complete disaster, and the sooner we get out of there, the better. I mean, it's you know. Ugh. These people screaming about money. I'm like, are you kidding me? Jim keeps pointing out, it was off the books.
Right.
We didn't even count it. And it's, you know.
And suddenly we had a deficit when Obama came into power because he actually put that money on the
books where it should have been all along.
Sweeping it under the rug.
Adam in Madison. Hello, Adam.
Hey, this comment is for Chris.
Hi.
I was just going to say that, you know, questioning is a criticism if the answer is implied in the question to begin with. You know, so like if Fox News gets on the TV and says, "Are Democrats ruining your life?" They're not asking a question; they're offering.
Yes.
Okay. What was my implication?
Well,
your implication is
he's wrong for not being in the Ivory Coast and being in Libya. I guess.
No. I just asked what was the justification for Libya as opposed to Ivory Coast.
Well, I tell you what, they've had it coming ever since they tried to take out Doc Brown, and that's my theory.
Doc Brown from Back to the Future.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Oh, he was using my Back to the Future reference. Okay. I don't know.
Soda?
What?
Tony in Los
Soda? What?
I don't know. It's time for Jim to do his Christopher Lloyd impression. That's all I know.
Hmm?
Huh? Tony in Los Angeles.
Hi.
Hi, Tony.
Hi there. I just called. You know, I'm just going to put it all out there. First of all, anything Obama, he's black. I mean, let's be real. That's what the problem the Republicans have. Let's just call it like it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bill Maher said that this week. It's like, how do you know, this birther thing, all of it. I mean, come on. Give me a break.
Yeah, and nobody else has gotten that. Number two, okay, when we look at American foreign policy overall, and this is to all the so-called progressives, is the fact that when you look at this country even, if white teenage boys were dying at the rate that black teenage boys were, something will be done. So it's not being done. That's a fact right here. Okay, then we want to look at foreign policy. American foreign policy, for the most part, is always, for the most part, there's some self-interest in there somewhere. I mean, that's the why you do deal with things.
Well,
there
exactly, because
the
they're right.
It.
Yeah. Because there's an interest, right? I mean, I think Robert. I mean, they
all over the world.
Right. Everybody jumped on this. Robert Gates was saying this on, I believe it was Meet the Press.
It was not a vital national interest to the United States, but it was an interest.
Well, and the other thing is, at least they were being honest. At least they weren't saying, well, they have weapons of mass destruction and blah, 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 mushroom count. They were saying, no, it's not a, but, you know, he was trying to lay out in the area they're in, and obviously there is a strategic interest.
I just don't know that an economic interest is reason enough to.
I don't think that was the reason. I think the president laid out the reasons. Mm-hmm. Michael in L.A., because we had to take one, because I could tell that you would see that that was the one call that was supporting you, Chris.
Mm.
Hi, Michael.
Oh, is that why it took me so long?
Yeah, that's exactly why.
Oh, you're just such a lonely little call, just Chris, hanging out there.
Chris is really, really right this time. If the people don't criticize the president for what he's doing, then the only voice he hears is from the corporations and from the Chamber of Commerce. By the way, Karen,
I think
Bass,
you're right. We need a solid wall of Obama bashing.
That's not, no.
From
no,
every radio station
don't
in the country.
Stephanie, you're acting like a Republican.
Yeah, I mean, you hold Republicans accountable when they do something wrong, don't you?
Yes, but my point is there's about 6 billion radio stations that do nothing but bash Obama 24/7.
You have to call. My representative is also Karen Bass. I call her. I love her. She's really
Isn't she awesome? She's very chuckly.
Oh, she's great.
Yes.
I call her all the time. And let me tell you, if when you call your representative, they don't say you again, then you're not calling your representative enough.
you're the you again guy.
Yeah.
Karen Bass is listening now going,
him again.
Michael. Okay. All right. Hey, let's dive into the right-wing world for some more Obama bashing, wanna? Why? Let's do that.
Oh, stop it.
All right. Bill O'Reilly. Here we go. On Libya. Here we go.
There is a valid criticism of Mr. Obama, however, in that he did not lead in this matter. If he feels so strongly about stopping Gaddafi from killing people, he could have acted quicker and more decisively.
No.
He did not. That doesn't mean it was wrong to seek UN approval or world consensus. That is a smart thing to do. But Mr. Obama was not publicly aggressive in doing that. He laid back.
Yes, you see what I mean? It doesn't matter what he does.
Well, he did give him a backhanded compliment. So
Sort of. But seriously, so if he would have gone in without any of this international cooperation, they would have said, ha ha. And now, because he did, he wasn't being aggressive enough. Yeah.
Because he waited 31 days.
Yes. Oh, man. All right. Steve Ducey on the Fox.
The president will be going up to the stage there at the National Defense University in Washington, D.C. to lay out the mission.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little late.
Oh, it's late. It's already
it's
too late.
It's a little late.
It hasn't happened yet. It's already too late.
Snark much?
All right. Isn't this great, you guys? Well, after the break, we'll have some more Obama bashing in the right-wing world, and then Charlie Pierce will probably be on to do some more. Isn't that fun?
Because what Charlie Pierce thinks is exactly what they think on Fox.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. When you call me,
out. Please call me out. 24 minutes after the hour, this hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in that promo code Stephanie. Promo code Stephanie. Do it. Get it. Dave writes, Steph, so let me just make sure, Steph, it's okay to question the president. Just don't do it where anyone can hear you. If President Obama ate a baby at high noon in Times Square on TV, you'd be thrilled with his after-dinner comments. You are growing tiresome. Dave finds me tiresome.
Tiresome?
I'm growing tired of you.
I work with you every day and have to hear all this crap, and I still don't find you tiresome.
Thank you. Please, Dave. Hypothetical land. It depends what kind of baby. Is it a Hitler baby? Is it an evil baby? I don't know. What are the president's comments about? I'd have to wait and see. Hey, remember how I said that we can hear some of the same comments on the 17 billion right-wing radio stations?
Yes.
And that's why I don't really want to spend a lot of my time bashing the president?
Yes.
For instance, you could hear oil parrots on almost any right-wing station that we went into just for the oil and blah, blah, blah. Here is well-known peacenik Rush Limbaugh.
The Obama hawk hens, meaning the babes of the women. There aren't any real babes in this bunch, but the hawk hens. I mean, just shut gates up there. So then Obama has to hastily schedule a national address tonight. By the way, 7.5 hours for Obama to figure out what he's going to say. So anyway, he's got this national address at 7:30 tonight to clean up any of the confusion as to why we're at war. And by the way, I now know why we are at war in Libya. We are at war in Libya to protect European oil and energy.
See. That's it. European oil. That's what he's concerned about.
Yes.
He
shares your concerns that it's
an oil. If it were American oil, he'd have no problem with it. But, it's European oil.
Wait a minute.
But that's what a caller talked about, too. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I thought some women on our side were babes.
Stephanie Miller is... Who is a babe, by the way? I must point this out.
Oh, well.
Some days.
Just on some days. Apparently, that's not one of these days. Okay. Huh. Glenn Beck on the TV.
I'm very concerned about our troops. I believe our troops are being set up.
Well,
Media Matters says it's war. It's war on Fox. We are dealing with real, true evil.
What are you talking about? He's talking about himself.
Media Matters is sending actual troops against Media Fox? Do they have that power?
Has sent troops to my house, which I've illustrated on this chalkboard, where I show a picture of Stalingrad and mix it with...
Media Matters has their own army, their own troops, like Bill O'Reilly does with Fox Security.
I am being physically attacked by people who disagree.
Now watch what I say to Eric Bolert next week.
Boy, howdy.
Glenn Beck on the radio.
How harmful is the water in your home?
Huh?
What the hell's that? Oh, I'm sorry. No, that's entirely...
Sorry.
So my water can kill me?
Yeah. So that was a Japanese
they need
water
silence, time. Anybody who could possibly explain the truth of what's really going on. So tonight I want to explain the truth. And I want to start with a little bit on what's happening in the Middle East. The uprisings. I told you on the 31st of January that this might be the trigger for another great war. But unless you were watching and really listening with open eyes and ears, you weren't getting that information. And if you weren't watching, if you were watching any other show, you certainly weren't getting it.
Oh.
No, it was all about cutesy little protests and youth in the streets. We told you that's a game.
I don't think the protests in Egypt were cutesy little protests. That brought about a regime change.
My mom gets nothing but the real stories. She watches Glenn Beck every night.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Brian in Charlotte, North Carolina, where my mama lives. Hi, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Well, I keep hearing people say that Obama needs to be better, but he's done most of the stuff that he said he was going to do, so I guess better would be perfect for him. I mean, the thing is, the Republicans, they don't do anything to help anybody, anybody who other than their top dollar interests.
Yep.
So it's like a false equivalency. Well, if you're going to criticize the Republicans, you need to criticize Obama the same way. And it sounds like to me that a lot of people are saying, well, what have you done for me lately, Mr. President? Well, he's done most of the stuff that he said he was going to do.
Thank you. 29 minutes after the hour, and now for the opposing view, Charlie Pierce
Stop
of the Boston
Stop it. He'll
Globe
do it with a chuckle.
Joins us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Perhaps we should relocate, as I am not legally permitted to be within 100 feet of
Stephanie Miller.
Or, more specifically, her sugary sweet ass.
Hey, Squeezy McFeel Pants, I may need your help with this. Mark says, Mama, in answer to the world penis size map from yesterday's show, here is a map of the world breast cup sizes.
Mm.
But I don't, it's a very confusing map, Squeezy. It's like a Fox map of boobs. I don't know.
Who has the biggest?
I don't know. It's not clear on here. Jim may have to go do research. He may need to take a sabbatical somewhere around Idaho, someone has really big jugs. Yeah. I don't know. And then they're mostly clustered there, it seems like.
Where's there?
It's Italy and Germany and France.
Okay. All right. That's
not Sweden?
It's kind of a Fox map.
Not Sweden?
Hmm?
Sweden?
We all know most of the boobs actually are at Fox News. Oh, look. Hey, Charlie Pierce is here. There's only one man now that understands, and that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Hi, Stephanie. Welcome back.
Thank you. Oh, you're so peppy this morning, Charlie Pierce.
Yeah.
We don't have
to talk about anything, do we?
You must be on a...
Oh, wait a minute. I got to clear a couple of things out of the way before we start.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Number one, where were all the hot women who got drunk on four beers when I was in college?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in I went to college in Milwaukee,
oh,
folks,
well,
okay? It took a lot
tolerance.
More work than that.
Yeah. That's a lot of beers for a chick, I'm just saying.
Not in Milwaukee, my friend.
All right.
Takes a lot to get into that bowling jacket, let me
tell
you.
Listen, I was gone on a 1-OV split in upstate New York.
Anyway, the other thing, I was thinking of Jim this morning. I was watching Morning Joe.
Yes.
And they had Tom Brokaw on discussing the president's speech.
Tom Brokaw.
And he tried to say Bahrain, and he really got stuck in the middle. I think he sprained an adenoid.
And that's not even an L word.
It was like he couldn't quite get it to turn over.
It's, you know what? He sounds like sometimes like something got stuck in the garbage disposal a little bit.
Like a fork?
Yes, like something, fork. Right.
Yeah.
You're like, I better turn that off before I go shove my hand in there. Charlie.
Hi.
Hello. What did you think of the president's speech last night?
Hi, Stephanie. Welcome back.
Uh-oh. See, did I say?
No. First of all, let's establish a couple of ground rules. Number one, everybody on this show is opposed to slaughter.
Yes.
We are
anti-genocide. Yes.
Especially Tom Brokaw.
The Stephanie Miller Show is anti-slaughter.
Yes.
Yes.
We all are.
Second of all, what he's doing is nakedly unconstitutional.
Oh, Charlie.
Article 1, Section 8. Congress shall have the power to declare war. He still hasn't talked to them. I would have felt a lot better if he'd spoken to them and not the National
Union. I would posit this is not a war. I thought, okay.
I would posit that you ask the Libyans.
The Libyans want us there.
This reminds me of the secret bombing of Cambodia, which was secret to everybody except the Cambodians.
Listen to the president. I want your reaction to this because I think he addressed
all
this.
It's not a war. That's silly.
Here he is.
America cannot use our military wherever repression occurs. And given the costs and risks of intervention, we must always measure our interests against the need for action. But that cannot be an argument for never acting on behalf of what's right. In this particular country, Libya, at this particular moment, we were faced with the prospect of violence on a horrific scale. We had a unique ability to stop that violence, an international mandate for action, a broad coalition prepared to join us, the support of Arab countries, and a plea for help from the Libyan people themselves.
So my point is, what did you think of Dancing with the Stars last night?
No, all of that is perhaps true.
Yes.
It also is irrelevant. Congress shall have the power to declare war.
I thought he was very clear about why it's not a war.
It's
an international
war. How is it not a war? I mean, we can
because it could not be more polar opposite from what we did in Iraq. I think he pretty much laid it out.
To say something is a slightly better war is not to say it's not a war. it's absurd to say it isn't a war. You can argue the constitutional basis. You can even say that the war powers in the Constitution have fallen into such.
We joined an international coalition to stop a genocide, to stop a slaughter.
There's no exemption for that in the Constitution. There's nothing in there about the UN. The UN says that we can do it. Now, I will grant you that this makes just about every action since World War II unconstitutional, that the Congress's war powers has fallen into complete disrepair, and I would agree with that.
So
but I don't think
Vietnam and Korea were all unconstitutional?
I think by the standards set down by the founders, they were, sure.
I do agree with you there.
But I don't know sadly, and I think we're poorer for it, I don't know that that's relevant anymore. But that having been said, it's not a war. Come on. We're blowing things up.
We're flying in A-10s uranium ammunition.
I will even grant you that we have the most compassionate high explosives ever developed. There should be a Red Cross on every Christmas.
Yes.
Okay, let me just say, I think the president addressed what you're talking about, the difference, in my opinion, too.
If we tried to overthrow Gaddafi by force, our coalition would splinter. We would likely have to put U.S. troops on the ground to accomplish that mission. Or risk killing many civilians from the air. The dangers faced by our men and women in uniform would be far greater. So would the costs and our share of the responsibility for what comes next. To be blunt, we went down that road in Iraq.
Thank you. If you're going to ask me what the difference is this not 180 degrees different?
I didn't ask you what the difference was.
I'm telling you.
Okay, I think I can figure out the difference. What the president is arguing is we've made a better war here than we did in Iraq.
So, Charlie, what would you have done? You're in the Oval Office. What would you have done? You would have not done this. I'm just asking.
That's the fourth grade argument. That's the argument I get.
I know you are, but what am I?
That's the argument I get from not very intelligent outfielders when I'm doing my sports writer thing.
Beg your pardon.
You know, I mean, come on.
I'm asking you, so you would not have intervened, is what I'm saying.
going back to the original statement, we're all anti-slaughter, okay?
Yes.
And I'm happy it seems to be working out. If he thinks we don't own this, though, he's crazy. I mean, the average Libyan doesn't know from NATO. Okay, the average American doesn't know from NATO. The average American thinks NATO is a depilatory. All right?
I mean, the average American knows that we didn't have any international coalition in Iraq.
Whatever government comes in is going to be the United States of America's government. It's not going to be NATO's. I don't think the Libyans are going to understand that part. They know who's flying the planes. NATO aside, and again, if it ends well, if it stopped the slaughter in Benghazi, I'm very happy about that. But I got to tell you, with this whole thing, I talked about this with Hal last week, I don't want to hear another national politician, especially this president, ever talk to me about the deficit again.
I don't
want to hear it. I'm with Bob Herbert on this.
Did you and Hal have a man fight? How did that go?
No, we discussed it quite clearly. Just that any discussion of the national debt as a crisis now is a joke.
Well,
okay?
I mean,
it is something that serious people should laugh at, because we can't afford to keep people warm in the winter or establish the fundamental safety net for a viable middle class. But anytime we want to blow stuff up in the desert, we can find the money.
I don't want to
hear another argument about the deficit.
You know. And Harry Reid made a point about, their fight is more with the Tea Party.
Republicans have to resolve their own deep disagreements before we can find a middle ground between the two parties.
Yeah, except it's the
Democrats. We've tried to wait patiently for them to do that.
Our patience
and the American people's patience is wearing very, very thin.
Yeah, how is that fight going between the Tea Party and the Republican establishment?
It doesn't matter, because the Democrats keep moving every time the Republicans move the goalposts. Mm-hmm. We want to cut some more. Okay, we'll cut this. No, we need to cut some more. No, we need. And look, we're over here now. I'm not impressed by the Democratic performance in the budget fight right now either. I mean, the fact that the Republicans may eat their young, that's fine, but it may happen after we've pretty much demolished the safety net for the middle class in this country. And yes, I'm very happy the Republicans are being made to look like idiots, but that's not the be all end all for me. I'm sorry, and I'm anti-slaughter. I'm resolutely anti-slaughter.
So what you hope to accomplish is just to naysay the president and Democrats enough that there'll be more Republicans in the next cycle and a President Gingrich?
Doesn't that get tiresome, Charlie?
No, that's not. Does it get tiresome? Yes. I didn't mean to say no to that. But it's not a question of naysaying. It's a question of there being a serious political brawl in this country right now that only one side seems to be taking seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I wish the President of the United States was half as tough on John Kasich and Scott Walker and Snyder in Michigan and those people as he is on Gaddafi.
No, he hasn't found comfortable enough shoes yet.
So. No, I don't think...
Oh, is airstrikes
no, no, no,
an option
again,
in Wisconsin?
No, he should not have gone to Wisconsin, okay. But this is about more than Wisconsin.
Right.
And he knows it, and we know it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and in that fight, he's been little more than a bond trader with a thesaurus.
All right, let's talk about something we can agree on, and that is that Newt Gingrich is a great big
right-wing Democrat.
Chris, take your organ out for me.
The latest one is that while he was having his affair.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill Clinton was having an affair at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
His thoughts on the whole thing were clarified because he was having his own affair.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm telling you, when the Lord handed out the big brass ones, Newt got in line twice.
Seriously, that he's on a church tour right now, basically.
At some visceral level, you have to admire the guy.
Yeah.
I mean, who does he think he's fooling?
Yeah, he suggested...
Calista, yes.
Every yeah.
Current wife, apparently.
Every adulterer in America is laughing at him right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even Bill Clinton.
He suggested Friday.
Way to go, Newt. Yeah.
I bet he and Hillary can even laugh about it now. Oh, Hillary, come on in here. You're not going to believe this.
He thinks, of course, now he's a Catholic, too, so now I have to carry the weight for him.
I bet Hillary's even laughing the Hillary laugh now. Come on, Hillary. Honey, come back and listen to this.
Was that heckle or jackal?
Newt Gingrich suggested Friday he's not looking to get past his three marriages and admitted affairs as a potential stumbling block with voters, arguing it's about admitting to weaknesses and failures for which he sought God's forgiveness.
Ah, well, in that case.
I love it. This is just priceless. The best thing that ever happened to me was I dumped two chronically ill wives and picked up with a totally aide. And by the way, have you seen that volunteer in the Augusta headquarters? Wow!
Can't someone ask him that question? What in the in sickness and health that part? Would you? Did you say that part in the ceremony? What do you think about that part?
The thing that people don't remember is that not only did he dump the cancer-stricken wife, the first wife, the second wife had multiple sclerosis.
MS, yes, when she got that.
If I'm like the current Mrs. Gingrich, I don't sneeze around this guy.
No. Look, what was that allergy?
I mean, as soon as you get caught buying some Claritin, you're out the door.
Even Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday said to him this weekend, you know, my wife wouldn't buy that.
Wouldn't buy the patriotic penis thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
if you were married to an andiron, she wouldn't buy that.
All right. See, Charlie Pierce, we ended on something we can all agree. See you next week.
And I think it's the most generous. And hey, Jim, I got an idea. Why don't we play a good game, pass the time playing a game of solitaire?
Yeah, there we go.
Thank you, Charlie Pierce. See you next week. Bye.
Yay, Charlie
Pierce.
I think
we should play solitaire, Raymond.
46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. Oh, let's continue with something we can agree on, and that is that Newt Gingrich is a giant hypocritical boob. He's on his church tour, you know, Jim. He's talking faith at a Texas church because, you know, he's a moral family man type.
Whatever.
He stood before thousands of evangelical churchgoers. to deliver a dire warning, the nation's Christian roots are under attack.
By Sharia law?
Yes, that might destroy the fine Christian values that he's espoused all his life.
Didn't he say we were going to become an atheistic nation if the...
secular atheists dominated by radical Islam. I'm reading, no understanding of what it once meant to be American.
Huh. So how can we be an atheist nation if we're dominated by religious
Sharia
extremists?
Sharia law will remove the patriotic marauding penises. Apparently, there won't be no more. Gingrich, by the way, just hours earlier, heard insisted on Fox News that leading the impeachment charge against Bill Clinton while in an affair himself with a woman also 22 years his junior was not in any way hypocrisy. He said, I'm really here as a historian, frankly.
In the history of the failed Clinton administration.
You know, if one were to study history, Jim, one might think that is the biggest...
Wheel of right-wing hypocrites!
Ever. If you were a student of history, you might say, you know...
If he were a student of history, he would know that the Clinton administration was a success and his reign as Speaker of the House was a big failure.
Frankly, as a student of history, I know that when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor, for example, frankly...
He said it was not hypocritical for him to impeach Bill Clinton while he cheated on his own wife.
Of course not.
He said, I don't know what you would have had me do, because I had to be a giant hypocrite.
Of course.
I had to. Because the President of the United States, frankly, was committing perjury.
Not really.
See, they shouldn't have been investigating his private life in the first place. See, had they been investigating your private life,
talk about mission creep. Uh-huh. Started from a failed land deal.
Yeah.
And then moved into...
We'll find out 6 months or a year from now whether people are forgiving and whether they put in context events that are 10, 15 years ago. Yeah,
context.
That's a long time ago that he was a big, lying, cheating, hypocritical bastard.
Don't look in the rearview
mirror. No, objects are more hypocritical in your rearview mirror than they actually are.
The fact that I ran over a troop of Girl Scouts is no longer relevant because I can see them in the rearview mirror.
I love this. It's not about personal behavior. It's not about. It's what he did in the Oval Office. Oh, it's because he got the job
in the
Oval
Office.
See,
that's the difference.
Chris Wallace did say he did note that Gingrich cheated on both his first and second wives. Wallace played the clip of him saying his affair was partially driven by how passionately he felt about the country. He said, Speaker, you've had more than a decade to come up with an answer, and in all honesty, there are a lot of people who thought answer was kind of lame. That wouldn't work with my wife. Wow, that's on Fox News. All right, here's what we might have coming if we get a President Gingrich. He said he could sign as 200 executive orders on the first day of president, accomplishing everything from abolishing a circuit court to further tightening restrictions on federal funding for abortions. He said if we had the right election in 2012, meaning elect him.
Right.
And we elect the right Congress, an even more right-wing Congress than we have now, and the right president, that means him, from day one, we can have executive orders, maybe as many as 150 to 200 of them on the first day.
Which would make him king.
Well, I'm not exactly sure the executive branch can sign an executive order to abolish a circuit court. I think there are checks and balances on that.
Right. When I'm president, you can do that, frankly.
He was talking to...
As a student of history, I know that I'm King George IV, frankly.
He was talking to religious conservatives.
I'm Henry VIII, I am.
Like himself.
Frankly.
At the American Family Association's pastor's policy briefing in Iowa.
I've been married seven times before, frankly.
Yeah, he's going to do things like get rid of the, you know, icky, immoral gays. I'm a little winded. Okay, let's go to Kevin in Asheville in support of the naysaying MOOCs. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, Steph. How are you?
Good morning, baby.
Hey, I got to go with the MOOCs on this because, you know, me and my girlfriend were watching the the uprisings in Tunisia and Egypt. And she said, you know, do you think we'll intervene? I said, well, I doubt it, you know, unless they have something we need. And, you know, lo and behold, Egypt started, you know, what, a week after, or Libya started a week after Egypt.
Right,
and,
but the difference is Gaddafi was obviously willing to turn his forces against his own people, and there was going to be a slaughter of unprecedented proportions.
Well, yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, true. But, I mean, that's going on everywhere.
And what evidence would you have to base that Gaddafi would follow through on that? The president talked about throughout the world what's going on.
We know that the United States, as the world's most powerful nation, will often be called upon to help. In such cases, we should not be afraid to act. But the burden of action should not be America's alone.
Jennifer in Sacramento, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Steph, I'm with you on this. He may not be perfect. He may not be making all the right decisions. But in this situation, we did have a coalition, unlike in so many other situations where slaughter could be happening. And this was imminent. And the guy made a judgment call, and I think that he did the right thing. And I'm with you. Too much naysaying. The problem is, Steph, in our party, we have smart people and not just blind followers. So they question authority, as they should. But too much questioning of authority leads to the uprising of people like Nader.
Leads to Governor Walker and Governor Kasich. Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean...
it's just the liberals need to know when to shut up, too, sometimes, and support their president and not always attack him. And I'm with you on that.
Or not ever attack him, according to Stephanie.
Yeah.
No. Let's go to Ken in Chicago raising another point raised by the president.
Plus, we're an Obama basher if we just question the president.
But you don't just question. You are relentlessly negative.
Relentless.
Ken in Chicago, am I right?
Relentless. We're not relentlessly happy
you
clappy about everything.
You're absolutely right. Please, please help me get over my frustration. Everyone keeps on asking, well, why don't we go into this country when there's all this unrest going on, and why don't we go over here? Well, isn't the bottom line that we weren't asked to go into those other countries? Here in Libya, we were asked, please, the U.S., come help us. Right?
Yeah.
And everyone keeps on missing the ball. They keep, they're trying to punt, but they keep on missing it. The point is, we were asked to come into Libya. We've not been asked to go anywhere else. So, like, what is all this talk going on about, well, why don't we help out everyone else?
Thank you. Thank you, Ken. 58 minutes after the hour. Joanne Kloppenburg running for the Supreme Court in Wisconsin. Very, very important. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look for the elf under Camilla in March Union Jack News at the usual pubs and shops.
What?
I don't know. Listen to the sponsorship page. I don't know. It's this hour is brought to you by that.
Hey, Camilla.
It's a haiku. So you can just go to the sponsorship page so anybody they can do that.
I think it's a riddle. I think you're supposed to figure it out.
Ah, there's going to be a series of riddles.
Look at me, this Batman.
How do you sponsor an hour of the Stephanie Miller Show, Chris LaVoy?
Just go to stephaniemiller.com. There's a banner right there, front and center, and you can sponsor an hour of the Stephanie Miller Show for just $100.
Wow-wee.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Stephanie
and
Miller.
You can have your trained monkeys pound out whatever they want
sure.
to send to us, and we'll
there
read it.
There it is. Stephanie
this
Miller.
This hour brought to you by Edible Puppies.
They're puppalicious. It's a southern thing.
Hey, look, Joel sent me a Bush bashing email. This hour could be brought to us by the Koch brothers, who are also not Bush fans. Isn't this one more mess Obama is cleaning up after the George W. Bush 8-year nightmare? Wasn't it Bush that lifted the sanctions from Libya, allowing him to rearm and get spare parts for his slaughtering machine? Why, thank you. Yes. Hello, Koch brothers. This hour of Bush bashing could be brought to you by the Koch brothers. All right. Oh, Julie in Seattle with a quick two-line skit. Newscast. Americans today were surprised to learn that President Obama has found a cure for cancer. Chris LaVoy, I just wish he'd done something about diabetes. That's exactly what Chris LaVoy does. That's a biscuit.
No, not really the same.
Okay. Listen, I have a fine American on the phone. Someone is way too overqualified to stay on hold. Joanne Kloppenburg mm-hmm. is running for the Supreme Court in Wisconsin
yes.
a week from Tuesday, or a week from is today, yeah, a week from today, mm-hmm. April 5th. Very, very important. KloppenbergForJustice.com, by the way, the website. She's Assistant Attorney General. Check this out. She's been a litigator and prosecutor at the Wisconsin Department of Justice since 89, serving under attorneys generals from both parties. She has broad, deep experience, includes constitutional law, appellate law, civil litigation, environmental prosecution, and administrative law. Oh, my God. She went to law school, University of Wisconsin Law School. Before that, Jim, she went to a little school called Yale. And then she has a master's from another little school called Princeton. She has been a teacher at UW Law School since 1990, and she was a Peace Corps volunteer in Botswana. And what have you done lately? All right, Joanne Kloppenburg joins us now from the great state of Wisconsin. Good morning, Joanne.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine.
And I forgot the most important thing. You and your husband, Jack, are the proud parents of two daughters and one son, and you live in Madison.
That's all true.
All true. So, obviously, my producer was saying this is going to be like a Supreme Court nomination hearing because you can't really express political views. However, you know that there's a lot of, there's a lot of focus on this race suddenly, correct?
Oh, there sure is, and with good reason. There has been a lot of politicking going on in Wisconsin, where it belongs, in the legislative and executive branches, and people just want to make sure that partisanship and politicking don't go on the court as well.
Well, you are running against, he is considered a conservative state Supreme Court Justice, David Prosser is his name, correct? And they have,
correct.
But the thing is, a lot of these right-wing groups, the Conservative Club for Growth, et cetera, have started running ads for Prosser, correct? So,
yes, they sure have.
And people are saying this could have huge ramifications on Wisconsin's legal world for years to come. Because that really is true. Even though the race is officially nonpartisan, he's considered part of a four-justice conservative majority, correct?
Well, he has, through his own words and his conduct in his campaign's words, said that he sees his role on the court as being part of that conservative majority and complementing the work of the governor and the legislature. And people are disturbed and alarmed by those comments and are supporting me precisely because I am committed to being independent and impartial.
Well, interesting, Joanne. That's exactly what I was going to say, is that's what I'm told by a lot of our listeners in Wisconsin, is that he seems to be the one politicizing this and claiming, as you say, to support the governor, to be part of the conservative majority. You do think, what happened to being a fair and impartial judge?
That's exactly it. And I have said from the start that that's what I'll be. And his message has been changing. He reached out to a small group of voters that would vote for him because they knew how he'd decide cases. And I've reached out to all the voters who want a court that decides cases on the law and the facts and not on partisanship.
Well, and it's interesting. I don't even know if you know this. This was, I think, fairly recent. Andrew Breitbart has a... Well, let's just call it an extreme white right-wing website, but there was a post on one of his websites, that basically says if the more progressive candidate, referring to you, I guess, wins the election, the Wisconsin judiciary might overturn an election. I mean, I don't even know where they're getting that from.
Well, because they make things up.
Right.
And the court is there not to overturn elections, but to decide legal issues and be a check and balance on the other branches of government, for sure.
Well, I mean, obviously, a lot of the state's largest business groups are putting ads on the air in favor of your opponent, David Prosser, correct?
Correct.
So I know this really does feel like a Supreme Court nomination, because I don't know. I mean, it's obviously there's just been so much national attention, though, on collective bargaining, on this whole, you know, what's happening with Governor Walker there. I mean, you can't really say how you feel about specific issues, correct?
Right. I can't say that, but I can say that it is so important that all that politicking stay with the governor and with the legislature and not flow over onto the court, that people have to have confidence that the court is truly independent and impartial and deciding cases on the law and the facts and not on partisan politics and not on personal vendettas with other justices.
Well, I think that that's what, you know, why, you know, the nation's attention has been so caught by what's going on in Wisconsin, because I think it has offended their basic sense of fairness, you know, just what has happened thus far and the way that it's been done. So I think that's why there is this, you know, this focus on this election in particular. I know that your Facebook's been going crazy. Your Facebook page is going crazy with people mobilizing Get Out the Vote efforts and such, right?
Oh, right. There's been an unprecedented outpouring of support by just regular people around the state. Because we have this public financing law, I don't have to raise money. I can just go out and talk to people. We put 12,000 miles on my mother-in-law's Buick going around the state. And we call it the boat. And I have connected literally to thousands and thousands and thousands of people who tell me they're supporting me because I will be independent and impartial. They don't want to know, you know, how I stand on the issues. They know that I haven't prejudged anything. They want an independent and impartial court. And we have a broad and deep base of truly grassroots support that is so informed that they will withstand the influence of these big money ads that are coming up in favor of my opponent attacking me.
All that being said, you're going to vote our way, right? Oh, I'm kidding. I was trying to catch you at the end of our hearing there.
No.
Now, she is. Now, it's next Tuesday, correct? April 5th, correct?
Yes.
Okay, Joanne Kloppenburg, I honestly was intimidated reading your qualifications. It's you've done really some amazing stuff with your life, and I wish you all the best of luck next Tuesday.
Thank you so very much. Take care.
All right, thanks for coming on. There she goes.
And we put a link to her Facebook page up on your Facebook page.
Yale, Princeton, the Peace Corps, Botswana, for God's sakes.
I know. She's very accomplished. What a slacker.
God. Yes. All right. Lots to get to. Lots of mail from
Uh-oh.
What?
Is this going to be more mook bashing?
A little bit.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm just saying you might want to weigh this, because if we lose enough listeners, then guess what happens? Bye-bye to you. Okay. This is from, Francine, who's no longer even listening. Mm. So there. Thanks, Chris and Jim. Thanks.
Relentlessly, I'm not talking to you.
Relentlessly negative. I have to leave the show behind. Stephanie, I'm writing to tell you with deep regrets. I'm turning the show off. Chris and Jim are indeed relentlessly negative. I'm tired of turning
happy,
on the radio.
Happy, clappy, daddy's a Republican party. Happy, clappy, happy, clappy.
Oh, God. Is that better?
She's not even still listening to defend herself, so I hope you're happy. And I'm tired of turning on the radio only to hear Obama bashing from every quarter.
Right.
I've really been enjoying the show, but the constant snide sneering at a very effective president is just turning me off. Randy is my only refuge. I know, me too. Me too. Randy Rhodes and I, by the way, if it goes south with the Howard, mm-hmm. she's going to get new bedding, she says, and it's going to be me and her. We're going to retire in Florida together.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The humidity down in Florida will make your hair frizz bad.
There isn't enough Japanese hair straightening and love of Randy Rose in the world to make me move to Florida, but still.
You'd have a fro in no time.
Randy will be like, I'm sure you know my girlfriend Link from Mod Squad. Francine continues, I'm not sure whether a letter like this really matters, blah, blah, blah. Yes, it does, Francine. There seems to be a new litmus test among the progressive community. If you don't resent this president, you're not really a progressive. That's intolerable to me. No. Many like me are stunned by the turn of progressive broadcasting. We finally have a president who shows integrity and consistency. Best of luck. My mornings need to be more positive. Well, I hope you're happy. Francine is gone now.
Yeah, sure, can I read a quick email from Chris in Yankton?
No. All right, fine. Yeah, he accused me of accusing anyone that criticized the president of treason. And when have I ever said that?
No, you haven't said that.
I know.
Yes.
Chris in Yankton writes, on the Stephanie Miller Show's ads.
We'll give him Fine American Music,
okay,
too.
Sure. On the Stephanie Miller Show's ads, all I hear is gold this and gold that. Why do you constantly bash silver, copper, platinum, and iridium? All this bashing is just tearing down all the other precious metals. Stop doing the right wing's work for them. Don't be such naysayers. The other elements of Group 11 of the periodic table don't get enough... get enough bashing from Fox News. Stop bashing all the other precious metals.
Leave Group 11 of the periodic tables alone.
I will have you know, Chris, that ITM Trading also sells silver. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Four minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Oh, I see. We have dueling skits now. Is that
yes.
it? We have, yeah, hang on. Where's my dueling banjos? I don't know. I can't find it now. Okay, so Julie wrote a skit about you being a naysaying mook, and now Shano has a skit in response.
That's right.
Oh, I love listener comedy. Okay.
He says, newscast announced. Today, President Obama committed 100% of the National Institute of Health budget to research a cure for cancer without going through Congress. Steph. Oh, my. Obama is my hero. He cares so much about curing cancer. What could be wrong with that? Chris, curing cancer is great, but what about funding for diabetes? Steph, stop bashing Obama, you right-wing troll. You're fired.
Oh, that is funny, Shane. That is funny. Thank you. Okay, let's go to Andrew in Tucson on your side. Hello, Andrew.
Hello. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
What a heated day, and I like it. Steph, I got to say that I voted for the president. I like him, but the reality is he's no... what the hell's our best president? Sorry for the word.
Roosevelt.
No, the one right now.
Bill Clinton?
Right before.
Oh.
Bill Clinton. That guy, when you pissed on him, he crapped on you. The man was an intelligent,
delightful.
well-spoken, strong guy. And Obama, he had let us down from the standpoint, when do we hold him accountable for being our leader, for being out there campaigning strongly for health care, for backing...
Well, he got health care done, and Bill Clinton didn't.
No,
there's that.
Legislature did. The legislature did.
Oh, he had nothing to do with it.
Okay. But what I'm saying is this, is look around the country. Where's the real power going on? We should be looking at our senators and our congressmen and our governors. But the president, even though I voted for him, I like him, but when do we say it's his responsibility?
There's not enough poo-poo caca. Okay. All right. What do you say to that? But you know, Bill Clinton actually took a lot of bashing from the left as well.
Oh, there was a hell of a lot of bashing.
I thought was a very, very good president. I'm just saying, Obama got health care passed.
Bill Clinton also pushed for NAFTA and GATT and all these things.
Oh, see, so he's retroactively bashing Clinton, so that's okay.
Well, you bashed him at that time.
Laura writes, Staff, I know technically Chris and Jim are, quote, holding the president's feet to the fire, quote, asking questions, quote, not marching in goose step like the right. However, they are doing the right's job for them by making all alternatives look the same. They aren't. That's my point.
They
aren't. Alternative is awful.
I'm still going to vote for Obama.
I live in Ohio. Ted Strickland was a solid governor, middle of the road, trying hard, but he wasn't quote-unquote progressive enough to please us on the left. I heard over and over on the phone banks last fall, what did Ted ever do for me? Look at Ohio now. John Kasich squeaked in, as did his quote-unquote big majorities in the House and the Senate. Many of those elections were really close and would have gone the other ways if the Democratic base had kept its act together instead of whining. Now teachers, firefighters, public sector workers are in the process of losing their collective bargaining rights. Transparency in government is a thing of the past. Voter suppression abortion is now legal, with the most restrictive ID law passing through the legislature, even as I write this. The new Secretary of State is doing his bit to make absentee ballots and early voting far more difficult. So each time Chris and Jim act like Obama is just awful and do it over and over and over, they are discouraging the base. Questions and debate are important, but that isn't what they're doing. We don't need President Bachman, Speaker Boehner, Senate Leader McConnell. The left shouldn't be helping this happen. Laura.
That's always the assumption, that it's the left criticizing that causes right-wingers to take
over. The turnout
was
not as good as, obviously, in the 2008 Jim. The turnout, obviously, was not... That's why what happened in the midterms.
And that is always the fault of the left. That's assuming that that was the turnout and not, say... Oh, I don't know, electoral irregularities. But that never happened.
I don't think it was electoral irregularities in the midterms. But all right, let's make fun of something we can all agree on, and that is Donald Trump's hair. Hello, Tony in Ohio.
Hey, I would like to be the official logician of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, we needed one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Mr. Trump's basic birther argument seems to be that he, Donald, never met Obama as a child. And that nobody can remember Obama as a newborn baby in the hospital or as a middle schooler, or so on and so on and so on. That's called argument from personal ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
By the same logic, I think Mr. Trump is a eunuch or possibly a girl.
Okay.
And until he puts his gentleman sausage on the table on public television, I'm going to continue to believe this.
All right.
If it looks anything like his hair, then no.
Sausage.
His gentleman sausage? Is that what he called it?
He boasted how easy it was to produce his birth certificate. Did you hear he did? And the smoking gun said is not an official New York City birth certificate.
No, it's like a souvenir that the hospital gives you.
Where's the real birth certificate, Don?
The real birth certificate is always held with the city or county government.
Yeah. My real birth certificate's so huge.
It's too
big.
I
can't carry it with me. It's huge.
Yeah, his is huge. It's too big. You can't carry it around. I'm sorry?
Huge.
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 Huge. Huge. 29 minutes.
You're fired.
You're fired.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Klaus, you're a genius!
Genius? No. You know who's a genius?
Stephanie Miller.
Thank you! Chris writes, Steph, I think if you do some checking, you'll find the people in the Ivory Coast don't want interference from outside Africa. It's one major region. Only troops are there to help out or from other African countries. We would only be causing a crisis of intervention if we tried to help. It would definitely backfire. And you, Jim, Charlie in Minneapolis, writes, my favorite argument from Jim yesterday when comparing the Ivory Coast to Libya, Jim said, we intervene in places that have oil. Why not Africa? Jim
I was quoting... You know damn well I was...
Jim could be employed by Fox's map makers. Libya is in Africa,
well,
and the Ivory Coast has oil. Keep
but he
digging
was,
for reasons
Wesley
to dislike
Clark
Obama.
Was talking about the larger portion of Africa,
right,
not
but you
North
used
Africa.
Something Wesley Clark said 4 years ago about Bush to diss what Obama's doing now.
Well, I'm just saying maybe some things haven't changed.
You know, it's going to be your fault, just like President Reagan was my fault, President Huckabee.
Oh, no.
In a Gallup
not
poll,
with that Christmas
he's number
card
one.
Picture.
He's number one in the poll. He's the latest Gallup poll. He's ahead of 16 other presidential prospects. By the way, they're saying, you know what helps him a lot? Fox News. He has a show on Fox News.
He has a weekend show on Fox
News. Yeah,
helps
his name
recognition. Gets run a lot on the weekends, actually.
Yeah. And he's a birther. Huh. He could have a birther off with Donald Trump.
At least Tim Pawlenty this morning on Morning Joe said, Obama was born in the United States.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I know.
He's not going to survive the primaries. He also
I
said,
thought he was born in Hawaii. Oh, wait.
He also said that he would repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah.
Which I love. It would be like that scene in Almost Famous when the rock band's going down on the plane and the one guy screams, I'm gay, and then they don't crash, and then you have to pretend no one heard that.
Mm-hmm.
What? What did I say?
What?
Okay. All right. Hey!
I've forgotten that scene.
It's another awful idea out of Arizona. Arizona bill would allow people to bring guns to Disney on Ice.
That doesn't seem wise.
That'd be good.
Carnage on Ice.
It's Carnage on Ice. Our Arizona legislature is now poised to outdo other GOP-led states in the competition for most extreme gun legislation. Mm-hmm. A House panel approved a bill to let anybody bring their guns into public establishments and public events.
Yeah.
I think the only thing is without anything without alcohol. Such public places would include major events such as the Arizona Cardinals and Phoenix Suns.
They sell beer at those
games,
places.
Or rock concerts, or as one major concert promoter noted, Sesame Street Live and Disney on Ice. Boo!
Bert?
Hey, Bert. Bert, wake
Ernie.
Up, Bert.
I'm dying, Ernie.
So cold.
So cold. And I don't think it's the ice. I think I'm bleeding out.
Wait a minute. What did you say about where they don't sell alcohol?
I think that's, you know, I think that was what they were originally saying. It's a public establishment or a public event. But I think it includes buildings owned or leased by the state. While the law exempts events or facilities that serve alcohol, making them provide gun lockers that didn't want to ban guns, events without alcohol would likely have to allow firearms without restriction.
I know for a fact that from personal experience that
yes.
they sell beer at Arizona Cardinals games.
I don't know. It's kind of confusing.
Okay.
It's kind of an agent for rock stars like John Mellencamp and ZZ Top couldn't imagine an artist agreeing to perform in front of a gun-toting audience.
Yeah.
Yes. That's, yes. I got me one of them little pink houses, John Mellencamp! Liberal!
You better perform here or I'm going to shoot you! Oh, wait.
Wow. Wow. Hmm. Hey, here's some history. The historians at Fox News, Jim, just as bad as the map makers, apparently. Apparently, the press was very tough on Bush in the lead-up to Iraq.
Yes.
That
I remember.
Is false.
Brian Kilmeade had Brent Bozell.
Yeah, him.
That guy.
He looks like he smells like cigarettes.
Yes. And disappointment.
And disappointment.
He claimed that President Obama seems to be getting a free pass from most media outlets. Oh, including this one in Progressive Radio. For some of his decisions on Libya, while President Bush got anything but a free pass in the lead-up to the Iraq War.
What?
I believe Think Progress
Radio. Did you have examples?
In reality, the media acted, of course, as Bush's lapdogs, eagerly mm-hmm. parroting every dubious claim
yep.
the Bush administration made about Iraq and shouting down the few who dared to disagree. So bad was the media's coverage of Iraq. Many major media outlets, of course, have since issued apologies for their complete and total failure to investigate any of the claims made by the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like
Make
the New York Times,
claim.
For instance, who was basically the... Judy Miller was the Bush administration
yeah.
stenographer? Really? And mm-hmm. what else would you like me to write in the New York Times about the weapons of mass destruction? It struck me, we just had Valerie Plame on the week before we went on vacation.
Yep.
There's a great scene. In fact, I think it's out on DVD now. Fair game.
Mm-hmm.
You should pick it up. But it's a great scene where, of course, you know, they're having dinner parties and stuff, and she can't... She's an undercover CIA agent,
right.
so she can't... And so everybody's talking, as they did in that time, about the Iraq War and the run-up. And, you know, she's in the kitchen with another woman. They're sort of cleaning up. And the woman goes, well, you know, who really knows whether he has weapons? No one really knows. And just the look on Valerie Plame's face, it's like, well, I do.
I'm with the CIA, and I...
Oh, damn it. I had too much wine. who really knows whether he does or not?
That's why.
And why does it matter?
That's
yes.
why you could never be in the CIA. Too much wine, you'd spill everything.
Oh, I'd be like, well, I'm a spy, and I happen to... Oh,
zoinks.
Okay, Robert.
I happen to know that Donald Rumsfeld wears frilly pink panties.
It's too important for me to win an argument.
Yeah.
Mike in Santa Barbara, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Steph. Hey, I'm with the mooks on the war, declaration of war issue with Congress. Sorry, but, you know,
listen, tune in on tomorrow. You might want to, it'll be at my fellow happy clappy liberal Hal Sparks, but then we will be 3 solid hours of naysaying with John Fugelsang on Friday. So that'll be your day.
I'll be in on it on Friday.
Awesome. See, now you can pick your days.
Join us tomorrow too with Hal Sparks.
Yes.
Come on.
Exactly. All right, Chris, could you take your organ out for me? American Family Association. Well, this is curious. Christians have First Amendment rights, but not Muslims, is the headline.
What? Where does it say that in the Constitution?
Well, according to American Family Association's Brian Fisher.
Oh, well, let's settle then.
He has written a blog claiming the First Amendment never intended to extend its protection to those of faith other than Christianity.
No.
Interesting.
Does this mean the Jews, too?
Fisher argues that the founders were trying to protect citizens from Islam's treasonous ideology.
What? The hell they were. They were trying to put
Tripoli. They were
Fisher has a little radio show that's hosted a number of Republican presidential hopefuls, including Huckabee, Bachman, Pawlenty.
I've had plenty of Pawlenty.
Yeah, me too. I've had too much. The First Amendment was written by the founders to protect the free exercise of Christianity.
Yes, of course.
Well, that's...
Sure.
Actually, it actually reads, the First Amendment's religion clause says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It doesn't actually... Maybe they were just too lazy to write Christianity. They meant it. It's too much ink.
Yeah.
You had to go to the inkwell then, so it probably was... That's what they meant to say.
What about the founding fathers who were deists and not necessarily followers of Jesus Christ?
He doesn't go into that.
Oh, okay. He didn't think this out too thoroughly, did he?
No.
Okay.
Here's what'll make you two happy: a President John Bolton.
Oh God!
Right.
As you recall, last fall he called for an immediate attack on Iran in the next 8 days. Despite the current military engagements that we're in right now, he urged the United States to also keep its focus on the great risk of Iran. Bolton argued for attacking both, meaning he's for Libya, but we should also do Iran at the same time. He said, I think a president's got to walk and chew gum at the same time.
Hmm. Just bomb everybody just to be on the safe side.
Yeah, just to be on the safe side. Mm-hmm. Let God sort them out. Okay, let's go to Robert in Palm Springs. Hello, Robert.
Good morning, Stephanie. I was alarmed to learn you're losing listeners, and so I'm going on a one-man crusade to gain listeners.
Okay. Well, I lost that one, Francine.
What? I'm sorry?
I said I lost that one, apparently, Francine, because of the naysaying MOOCs.
Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to keep inviting conservative women over and giving them wonderful sex and then having them stay the night and turn on Stephanie Miller in the morning. I have converted one, and I think I can do more.
Awesome. Wow. Good job.
If you have enough sex with them, you'll create more. So.
Good job.
No, not that kind of sex. Thanks anyway.
Good job.
That's all you want. We'll make more.
So every other kind of sex except for the kind that procreates. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Sex is only dirty if you're doing it right. Okay.
I mentioned the Treaty of Tripoli.
Yes.
I just wanted to let people know what that was.
Treaty of Tripoli fun facts, please.
Okay. Yeah, as the government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion, as it has in itself no character of enmity against the laws of religion or tranquility of Muslims, and as the said states never have entered into any war or act of hostility against any Muslim, we'll say, nation, it is declared by the parties that no pretext arising from religious opinion shall ever produce an interruption of the harmony existing between the two countries. That was the Treaty of Tripoli.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. I thank you. I was up all night tossing and turning, wondering what was in that Treaty of Tripoli.
And, of course, Tripoli is where Gaddafi is, right?
Mm-hmm. No. Okay. Hey, here's a couple of headlines that'll make him mad.
What?
Huh? As a Republican governor after Republican governor trying to take things out on the working folk of America and these money-grubbing teachers and, you know, people that are not necessary, like cops and firemen and, you know.
Whatever. Old slackers.
Bank of America paid nothing in federal income tax last year and got almost $1 billion from taxpayers.
Great. That seems fair.
Bank of America,
which is why we have to destroy the unions.
Mm-hmm. The nation's largest bank has gone a second year in a row paying absolutely no federal corporate income tax. In fact, not only did the company use its losses to avoid paying taxes last year, but it actually reported a tax benefit of almost $1 billion. The head of the Citizens for Tax Justice said, if you go out and try to make money and you don't do it, why should the government pay you for your losses?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's a
good
question.
Which is why
I think
Obama should fire all the Wall Street guys.
I knew there would be a reason for Obama naysaying in there. However, after paying zero income taxes, GE plans to ask its union workers to make wage and benefit concessions.
Of course.
Despite making $14.2 billion in profits, GE, the largest corporation in the U.S., paid zero in U.S. taxes in 2010, actually received tax credits of $3.2 billion.
Which they could distribute among their workers.
Yes. GE is expected to ask its nearly 15,000 unionized employees in the United States to make major concessions. This year, 14 unions representing more than 15,000 workers will negotiate a new master contract with GE. Among the concessions GE has signaled... that it will ask of union workers is the elimination of a defined contribution benefit pension for new employees. They're also signaling to the union it will ask for the elimination of current health insurance plans in favor of lower quality health savings accounts. In addition, they may ask some workers for a wage freeze because, you see, because they had such a tax burden.
Right.
Oops.
They had such a terrible year that they...
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
All right, 46 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on the Libya celebrity stack and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Do you know somebody once told me I was in an event and they said they thought I was Katy Perry.
What?
I'm like, oh, please.
You're about 40 years older than Katy Perry.
Exactly. Even I didn't buy that. I was like, oh, please.
Plus, she's kind of curvy.
Yes, I get you.
And you're,
I understand.
And you're built like a surfboard.
Yeah, I don't take a compliment well anyway. I was like, oh, please, you lying bastard. All right. Hey,
there's no skag on her butt.
Hey, could you take out your organ? Katy Perry's mom is a church lady. Who knew?
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, yes, I did read about that.
Katy Perry's mom hates her boobs.
Hates Katy Perry's mom's boobs?
The superficial
or Katy Perry
says.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Katy Perry's father, a preacher, and her parents not entirely thrilled with the current trajectory of her career. Much like my mother is not thrilled with mine.
I'm sure they're thrilled with Russell Brand.
In the video for I Kissed a Girl, she shoots whipped cream out of her boobs.
Nice.
And in the video
What's not great about that?
In the video for Fireworks, she shoots fireworks out of her boobs.
That's not quite as much fun, but yeah, okay.
They're functional. They're fully functional. Cool. Superficial writing, so like a good opportunist for Jesus, Katie's mom, Mary Hudson, is now shopping a tell-all on how Katie's success has affected her ministry on the constant parade. No mother wants to see the top of her daughter's boobs.
You've heard that a million times from your mom.
Exactly. Thank God no one can see them. They're not big enough. The Hubble telescope can, but yeah. On Katie's first hit, I Kissed a Girl. Mm-hmm. She sang out, I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It, while thousands joined her. One part of my heart soared, the other part broke for the thousands of hungry souls being fed something that didn't nourish their spirit but fed their flesh. Speak for yourself, sister. Right, Jim? Am I right?
Yeah.
So basically... Superficial writing. So basically, Katie's career is the work of the devil, but let's still cash in on it anyway and chalk it up to doing God's work.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Thank you, church lady. All right. Oh, here's a good idea. Superficial also with a good one about ABC wants to put Chris Brown and Rihanna in the same room. Wouldn't that be fun?
Especially, did you hear what Chris Brown did?
Despite breaking a window in their studio and squaring off with a producer in a shirtless rage, ABC wants nothing more to stay in this Chris Brown business. Their latest idea to try to get Chris and Rihanna in the same room and film the aftermath for a primetime special.
As long as she brings her umbrella.
Superficial writing. What other media deal ABC wants to build with Bad Boy Brown? A reality show, perhaps? Oh, no, that would never happen here, said a top-level ABC insider. Superficial says, a reality show? Oh, heavens, no. That would be unconscionable. What we're looking to do is to take the more ethical, moral approach of getting Rihanna in a room and then wheeling Chris Brown out like he's Hannibal Lecter. I'm talking the face mask and everything. After that, Robin Roberts will go over some ground rules, check his glove for shards of glass, and then step into a bulletproof chamber. We just want to be part of the healing process, you know? That's the type of responsible journalism we believe in. A reality show. That's rich.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, Diane in Minneapolis with a request for Jim. Diane, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Great, great. Say, hey, Jim, it's my birthday. I love you so much. If you could say, like, happy birthday in the Kim Jong Il voice, I'd be like, fabulous.
I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Diane. In Minneapolis.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Diana Minneapolis. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, Diane.
Hey, send over Kim Parenti here. Man, after my own heart.
You're giggling like a schoolgirl. All right, Diane, happy birthday.
Thank you.
All right.
Yay, Diane.
Do it again, Jim. Hey, how about this? President Obama said Monday students should take fewer standardized tests and school performance should be measured in other ways than just exam results.
I like
Too
that.
Too much testing makes education boring for kids. You know who knows a lot about this? teachers, ironically.
Yes.
I talked to, I have some good friends who were teachers, and they were saying that, No Child Left Behind, nightmare of overtesting and underfunding.
At the risk of not bashing President Obama, I totally agree with him.
Why, thank you, Chris. Things are starting to shape up around here.
No, don't ask, don't tell was, you know, teaching just to the test. And No Child Left Behind. You know what I mean.
Don't tell what's behind, I think is what you're thinking.
You know, stop it.
Got to know who's behind and who's...
I understand.
Behind. Anyway.
Yes.
It killed any kind of creativity or
critical thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just trying to turn people into mindless drones who take orders.
Yeah, he said, too often what we've been doing is using these tests to punish students or in some cases punish schools. He said schools should be judged on other criteria other than student test performance, including attendance rate. He said, one thing I never want to see happen is schools are just teaching the tests because you're not learning about the world. Mm-hmm. You're not learning about different cultures. You're not learning about science. You're not learning about math.
You're not learning how to think.
Right. All you're learning is how to fill out a little bubble on an exam and little tricks you need in order to take a test, and that's not going to make education interesting. He endorsed the occasional administering of standardized tests to determine a baseline of student ability.
Right, but that shouldn't be the only thing.
Yeah. And he also expressed concern that too many schools will be unable to meet annual proficiency standards set under the No Child Left Behind law. He wants Congress to send him a rewrite. The Republicans, of course, they won't do that.
Yeah.
They also look unwilling to sign off on his plans to increase spending on education because...
They like...
Because why?
Stupid people are easier to control.
Because, right, they might vote for Democrats if they're smart.
Is this going to be on the test?
Hey.
No. Nothing's on the test here. All right. I think the more important thing is there are angry squirrels. Angry birds. I was obsessed with that when Hal Sparks busted out his little computer game.
Yeah.
Angry squirrels. A squirrel attacking residents of Vermont neighborhood. Yikes. I thought I had critter trouble.
Yeah, just get a slingshot like you do in Angry Birds. Take care of them.
A Vermont neighborhood is being stalked by a renegade gray squirrel. Several people in Bennington say they've been attacked by a squirrel over the last few weeks. Kevin McDonald says he was shoveling snow when the squirrel jumped on him. When he threw the animal off, but it twice jumped back onto him.
A renegade gray squirrel in a world.
Johnson says it's possible the squirrel was raised as a pet and lost its fear of humans. Well, he didn't obviously like the humans.
Yeah.
Raised him very much. He says the squirrel might go ballistic when it encounters people it doesn't recognize. Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
You know, there's a new version of Angry Birds out there with marmosets.
Oh, no way!
Yes, you have to try and get the marmosets.
Furious marmosets.
Yes!
all right, Scully in Los Angeles to close us out real quick. Hey, Scully, go ahead.
Hi, good morning to you all.
Good morning.
You know, I have two things to say. I'm a South African and I became an American citizen last year. And I have to say, when you look at the Zimbabwe-South African situation, more people have died under the dictatorship of Mugabe in Zimbabwe, and not the UN, not NATO, and no foreign country has come to help. But the African Union also has to wake up and smell the coffee because they have a responsibility to take care of the African nations.
All right, that was too erudite for the end of the show. Hal Sparks tomorrow for Hump Days with Hal. We'll see you then on The Stephanie Miller Show.